We'll be in Colossians 1, verse 24 this morning, reading through chapter 2, verse 5. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen my face, seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments, for though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
You may be seated. Thank you, Michelle. Growing up, my father would come into our room at night. We'd have to brush our teeth and get our pajamas on. And he'd come in to say prayers with us and to read these kids' mystery novels called The Hardy Boys. Anybody ever heard of those? Hardy Boys, great. Great stuff. And if you know anything about the Hardy Boys, before there were cliffhangers in a TV series that made you watch the next episode, there was the Hardy Boys. Every chapter was a cliffhanger. It didn't matter. Didn't matter. Chapter one, cliffhanger. Chapter two, cliffhanger. Chapter three, cliffhanger. And by the end of the book, he wrapped up the mystery. These two young boys, brothers, I was on one side of my dad. My older brother was on the other. We were reading, kind of seeing ourselves in the book, trying to solve this mystery. And by the, you know, eighth or tenth of these Hardy Boy books, you kind of know what's going to happen. Every once in a while, there'll be a little twist, but you know. It's never the one you think it is, right? And so we read this. Now, at the end of every chapter, we would scream for more. Y'all ever do that? Just one more episode. Just one more episode. And my dad is he's a very consistent man. He's disciplined. One chapter every night. One chapter. Didn't matter to the cliffhanger. Oh, 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 boys, it'll be here tomorrow. It'll be here tomorrow. Now, those 24 hours that was a long time, man. We had to, the next night, we're brushing teeth, putting pajamas, getting ready to find out what happened. Now, let me just caveat that by saying, fathers and men in the room, any time you spend with your kids is not wasted. It's an important mystery novels, you know? But it was important, man. We get to spend time with our dad. So my dad imagine one day, right? Y'all know these, now they have, you know, they only release a few episodes and then you got to wait a week or a whole season, you got to wait till next. I mean, we get upset about this, you know. We want to see it now. The whole season. Tonight. Now, imagine if this mystery or this cliffhanger wasn't just a day or a week or a year or a decade. Imagine if this mystery was centuries, generations. And this is what we're looking at this morning, is that the mystery of Christ, Now, God would show up to Abraham in Genesis, y'all. That's the first one, right? That first book, Genesis. And this is what God said to Abraham, or Abram at the time, Genesis chapter 12. He said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, from your kindred, from your family's house, to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, think about that. Every family on earth will be blessed through Abraham's offspring. What? This is not even like a leader. This is just a man in Mesopotamia. I'm going to pull you out of where you are. I'm going to put you in another land. And out of your offspring, from you, every family of the earth will be blessed. Now wait a few years and he revisits this in Genesis chapter 22. 10 chapters later, he says, "In your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Now, we don't know. Israel didn't know. Would they just become slowly, methodically, the most powerful, the most wealthy, the greatest nation, and all other nations would then be subject to Israel? Is that the mystery? And I think part of Israel, that kind of makes you feel good when you think, man, I'm going to be the most powerful, the most military. We're going to be the richest. Everyone's going to come to us and be blessed from us. That's kind of the mentality. And there's a mystery, and they're kind of waiting for this. And then Israel would rise, and Israel would fall. They would honor God, and then they would rebel against him. And they had this kind of wave of faithfulness and unfaithfulness, judgment and restoration. And it was a mystery. How will all the nations be blessed through us, God? The mystery of Christ. And this is what Paul's saying here. He's saying the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or if you're from where I'm from, Christ in y'all, the hope of glory. Now he said in another place, Paul, I know this is a lot of scripture, so hang here with me. Paul says another place in Galatians 3, we're just tying this mystery up, trying to get your mind around what God is saying. How will from Abraham every family and nation of the earth be blessed? How is that going to happen, God? Listen here in Galatians 3, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Verse 16, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say "into offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to you and to your offspring, who is Christ." And here's the mystery that Paul foresaw, that Paul understood. Here's the mystery. God would bless the world, every family of the nation, every ethnos, every people group, through the offspring of Abraham, Jesus. And God would come in the flesh through the line of Abraham, through the line of David. He would be the son of David, a king, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he would die on the cross for the sins of all humanity so that all who believed in him would have eternal life, intimate relationship. And then God would make his tabernacle. He would make his home inside of them. And then from this people, not just, and we're not just talking about individuals. We know from 1 Corinthians 6 that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. Every individual, if you put faith in Christ, you are united with Christ in his death, united with him in his life, and you have a personal relationship with God who is alive, the Creator God, who dwells in bodily form in Jesus, you have a relationship with him for all of eternity. This is eternal life. Now, heaven's important, and we're going to talk about that, but that is not the primary mission or the thrust of Scripture, is that heaven would come to earth. That's the heart of God. Do you understand? Well, I don't believe it. Let me just help you. Go back to your old baseball, your football. All right, guys, we need God to win this game. So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the prayer of Jesus, that heaven would come to earth. How will he do that? Here's how. Because he will deal with your sin and my sin through the person of Jesus. And then he will live inside of every believer. Now, when he comes in, he starts to clean house, praise the Lord. Right? I remember meeting Jesus in my life, radically shifting. Okay? Now, but there were some closets that I liked to lock up. Right? I didn't want it. Jesus, you can't go in there. Right? And Jesus said, I'll be dang, this is my house. Right? When I purchased you, I purchased all of you. And you thought you were real good about hiding that thing. And sometimes we hid stuff we didn't even know was there. And Jesus said, no, I'm going to get to that too. Because I am here to bring heaven to earth in your life. And it's going to be a process. In fact, you won't complete it in this life. But it's important that you engage with God through the journey because others will see it. And then they'll have hope because they're dealing with the same mess that you're dealing with. There's no temptation under heaven that's not common to man. There's nothing you're dealing with somebody else is not dealing with. And when we come in this church and we, I'm fine, brother, that we're perfect. We don't have sin. Our homes are perfect. Our marriages are perfect. People can't relate to that because it's not real. I know it's not real because I know some of y'all. That's shocking. I know myself. Y'all know me. Oh, I got everything together. You're like, no, we know you. But yeah, here's the reality. I'm walking with the God of heaven. He's purchased me. He started in me, and he's not going to complete it. He ain't stopping until I see him face to face. But it's important that what he started in me continues for his glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, for my Hebrew scholars, this is a plural you. So, yes, it's about your individual relationship with Jesus. That is eternal life. It's not less than that, but it's far more. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you understand? It's us walking out community life together so that we grow up into him who is the head. And so here, Paul's saying, look, among the Gentiles, you don't have a relationship with God. You don't have a covenant like Abraham. You are alienated from God. Your minds are hostile to God. When God just comes in and says, man, I don't want you to do that anymore. What? Hey, man, I want you to stop sleeping with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Even that, God? Yeah, I've created sex is beautiful for marriage covenant. It is awesome in covenant. And so it's interesting. The devil is trying to get everybody in bed who shouldn't be in bed. And then he's trying to get everybody out of bed who should be in bed. That's true. I've been unmarried and I've been married and that's just true. Right? This is a beautiful thing. All right, and so I don't know what it is about God telling us, you can't tell me to do that. And it's so funny. We go into the scriptures and we will justify. We will twist. We will contextualize. We will morph the word to our bidding. And we'll create God in our image. And we learned last week, you can't do that. He is the image of the invisible God. He's created all things, and all things are for him and by him. When you want to know about life, you go to the Creator. How did he design it? And this is the good news. This is the mystery of Christ. How will all the nations of the earth be blessed through Abraham? Because through the line of Abraham, a man named Jesus will come and die for the sins of the world and rise from the dead, proving he was the Messiah, he was the Son of God. And then he will abide, he will abode, he will tabernacle with his people. And then it won't be a cultural thing, it'll be a Jesus thing. Now, that doesn't mean culture doesn't need to change. I was at a ball game the other day, and this, I think they were British or something, and man, they were cussing, and they were yelling. I think they were probably half drunk. And then somebody said, well, that's just their culture. I'm like, okay. When you meet Jesus, if there's parts of your culture that don't honor him, they got to change. Now, what I'm not trying to say is all of us got to eat tacos, right? All of us got to eat carnitas. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is God will take that carnitas to the glory of God, okay? And you cook that. You marinate that thing. You pull that. You call it what you call it. We'll call it barbecue. You call it that. I'm not trying to make that. All I'm saying is if there's anything in this culture that doesn't bring Jesus glory, it's got to change. But there should be beautiful diversity of expression within the bounds of what God has laid up. So we're not picking up culture saying, you got to be like this, learn this language, do this. That's not what Jesus said. He said, look, Jew and Gentile, you're a sinner and you're a sinner. Repent, come to Jesus, bow your knee to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and let that language, that culture, grow out of Christ something beautiful. Right? And praise God. If we were all from English descent, how boring would that be? Our food would be bland. Like, it would be like, look, I love it. Fish and chips and all that. Like, let's go. But I want to see the color. I want to see the beauty and the I want to see the diversity of the kingdom. Every family, nation will be blessed in Christ. And this is the mystery. And there are religions and ideologies that are trying to force you to bow your knees to a culture. I don't serve a culture. I serve Christ. And if this nation is wonder, I love this nation, y'all. I get emotional about this country. I love it. And if that's, I don't know, there's something beautiful about this land. We ain't sinless, though, y'all. There's some sin. I love this, but if this nation falls and another nation, I'm going to serve Jesus. Man, look, my faith isn't in this structure. It's in Christ. Now, I don't think there's a better one, personally. I could be wrong. I'm not going to the grave with that. I'm going to go to the grave on this. Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, and he loves you, and he wants to know you. This is the mystery of Christ. Now, this word mystery shows up in the Old Testament. It doesn't mean we don't understand. It's just a mystery. No, it means something hidden that has been revealed. Now we understand. Christ is the mystery. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, in the Old Testament, the book of Daniel, this word comes up, this mystery. Nebuchadnezzar has this dream. He's the king. The thing is, the king employs a lot of like psychics and satraps and wise men from all different nations. And he has this dream and he wants them to interpret. But here's the problem when you're paying for interpretations. They give you what you want to hear, right? And so he said, you know what? I don't want to hear what I want to hear. I want to hear the real interpretation. So this is what I'm going to do. Whoever can tell me the dream, I know can interpret it. Well, they said, well, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, come on now. Like, you got to give us the dream. That way we can interpret it. No king has ever. He goes, look, my mind is made up. And then they come in. Well, we need more. This is impossible, blah, blah, blah. He goes, all right, y'all going to die. Evidently, I've been paying for people who can't do what I need. So round them all up, and you're going to die. And so they start rounding them up. And Daniel's like, why are we dying? Exactly. Oh, well, the king had a dream and y'all couldn't even, well, can you ask him for another day or a couple days? So he grabs his small group. He grabs his life group. He says, hey, life group, we're going to die if God don't show up. It's amazing we can pray when your life's on the line. It's passion, pour out my heart to you. And so here, man, we're praying. And then that night, Daniel gets the dream. It's amazing. And he says, I got the dream. So he goes to this guy. I can't remember, it's Arioch or something. He said, look, I got it. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show the king his interpretation. So he comes in. He says, all right, king, this has been a mystery, but God has revealed it. He says, you are a great king. You in your night, you laid down in bed, and you were thinking about the things to come, and you saw this statue. And the statue arose out of the land, and its head was gold. That is you, O king. You are the greatest of kings. And then his chest was silver. And then its midsection was bronze. Its legs were steel or iron. And its feet were iron mixed with clay. You are a great king. You are the greatest of kings. But after you is coming another kingdom. And then after that kingdom, another kingdom. And after that kingdom, another kingdom. And it will be strong. And then I saw this statue, and out of the mountain, this hand, not the hand of man, but the hand of God. It pulls out a rock, and it started to roll. And it hit the feet of this statue, and the statue crumbled and shattered. And like chaff on a summer day, it was gone. And then this little rock started to grow, and it became a mountain. And it touched every nation on the planet. Listen to what he says. In the days of those kings, the king of heaven will set up a kingdom there shall never be destroyed. It shall break in pieces all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Jesus would arrive right in the middle of the Roman Empire, the strongest nation. And he would, and this is what he said, behold, I have come, repent, the kingdom of God has come. And it comes like a seed. It just kind of wedges into your heart and you believe and you said, I want to know you, God. I want to turn from my wicked ways. I want to submit to you. And then I'll put my spirit inside of you. And then it'll start to grow like a seed. It will grow, not like a mustard seed. It will grow to the biggest of all the garden plants and cast a shadow over all else that's in your life. This is the mystery of the kingdom. Daniel sees God's eternal kingdom breaking into human history during the age of Rome through the coming of Jesus. It begins small and seemingly insignificant, but ultimately destroys all other rival kings, and it will grow to the ends of the earth. This is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not through the hands of men, not through armies, not through military might, but through humble obedience to the living one. Laying down, in fact, Paul is saying this, look, I'm struggling, I'm suffering for your sake so that the kingdom will come to you. What is the implication? Christ wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in, not you, the hope of glory, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. He'll come. This is the mystery of Christ. Second, we see is the mystery of Christ in ministry. What does that mean? The mystery of Christ in ministry. Look at Paul here. I rejoice in my suffering for your sake. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. For I want you to know how great a struggle. Here's what's interesting about ministry. Ministry is someone else leaning into God for your sake. What I'm not saying is the office of ministry. I'm not talking about what I'm doing up here. I'm talking about every one of you in this room. He's talking to me. Say, he's talking to me. God wants to use you in ministry to help other people. That's it. I'm as dumbfounded as you are. You. God wants to use you. That's a mystery to me. Are you kidding me? Me? Oh, he wants to use you. He wants to partner with you. Look at this. I'm suffering for your sake. There's something about suffering for someone else that brings the kingdom in their lives. It was a man, Pastor Mike and his wife and his one kid, leaving this place, this oasis of Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill. Oh, it's so much greater. And then he come to this place to plant a church. There was suffering involved. Leaving your friends, leaving comfort. And out of that suffering, a church was born. We're in it. I'm the fruit of that suffering. This marriage is fruit of other suffering for us. Right? We needed some help, praise the Lord. There was struggle. This is the mystery of Christ in ministry, is that somehow God uses us. We planted a church last weekend. Isn't that crazy? Look, I think I've got some photos of this. Look at, there's Devon and his church, their first meeting. Amen. This is in Charlotte, North Carolina. If you're from Charlotte, we just planted a church there. There were 47 people showed up. 16 of those were kids. 16 kids. And there was Zach and Risa. They're from this church as well, or Zach is at least. And so what happened? I remember when Zach was walking around this church cleaning on the weekends. He's going to travel the world and preach the gospel. I'd be like, ha! I bet his parents were too. They're like, Trisha's probably, no, I believe. She's a woman of faith. She probably saw it before he did. Here's the reality, though. You're looking at this guy? Couldn't go to class? Couldn't tie his shoes? Now God's going to take him all over the world. I'm going to partner with people like this. I think I got a picture of Devon. You got a picture of Devon up there? Look at that guy. He's preaching the gospel. Amen. Now, I got another picture of Devon. Did y'all get that one in there? Look at that. See that on the left? He's like a junior at ECU. I said, look, D group. Listen, this is my life group. We're going to do some yard work. Come on over. Get some stuff done. Here he was. You're trying to tell me this man, this boy, really, would grow to a man and God would use him to plant a church? But this is the mystery of Christ in ministry. He just needs a willing vessel. I'm just that guy. I'm going to use her. Everybody else has written her off. Everybody else says she's not cool. Yeah, that's the one. You understand? God doesn't care. He wants to partner with us to do his ministry. Well, I'm not in the ministry. Good. Because now you can reach people that I can't reach. Oh, what do you do? I'm a pastor. Zoop. Right? What do you do? Well, I'm a chemical engineer. Okay, tell me about that. And then out of that relationship, you are able to share your life in the gospel. See, God wants to use you. I want you to say this out loud. God wants to use me. God wants to use me. This is the ministry. This is the mystery. The reason we're reading this book this morning is because a man who hated Jesus, persecuted Christians, put them to death, met Jesus. And he said, look, I'm going to give my life for this. Why did God partner with him? Because that's just the kind of person God wants to use. Like, but you don't know what I've done. Well, have you murdered anyone? Because that's the person God wanted to use. So I don't know your list of reasons why God can't use you, but they're not good enough for the cross. You understand? What did you do that Jesus didn't pay for? Well, you don't know. Are you so proud that your sin is greater than his sacrifice? That's not humility, that's pride. Repent and believe. It's suffering, it's struggle. We're about to fast. I know some of y'all hear the word fast. Don't look at him. Not me. Not a meal. Yeah. Fasting. Why? Because fasting does something in us. It's us partnering with God, saying, God, there's something more important than food. God, I want y'all to know from the bottom of my heart, I hate fasting. I hate it. Don't think I'm all just, I have a love hate. I love the fruit of fasting. Right? Just like I love the fruit of leg day. I don't get it. I mean, the last 2 weeks, Michelle's made me do leg day. I'm like, I don't want to. Like, what is the purpose of this? Nobody sees my legs. I got pants on. Can we do abs or something? I'll even do abs. No, because suffering produces something in us. And so it's almost like a boot camp for suffering. I want you to walk through voluntary suffering so that when real suffering comes, you'll know how to handle it. That's what fasting does. Well, my body needs food. I know. There's something about not saying no that helps us and others. There's something about prayer and fasting that does the work. I mean, this can look like anything. It can look like instead of you paying a professional to do your lawn, it could look like raising up the next generation. Say, I'm going to let this 15-year-old mow my lawn. I know some of y'all are like, that's gone too far, Blake. But that's a suffering for the kingdom. I'm going to allow some movement so that it won't be as good as what I do it, but I'm going to make some room so that the next generation can get some experience. Work hard. They're not at home. Watch it. They're mowing your grass. Rejoice in that. Right? So this can look like a variety of different things. But what it does look is suffering or struggle so that someone else can get breakthrough. It might mean you don't leave campus as soon as you would like to. I remember being a freshman at ECU, and all my friends were moving off campus. And I just heard the Lord, don't you go. Sign back up and get back on that campus. Live in the dorms. I'm like, it stinks in this place. The fire alarm goes off at least 3 times a night. That was back when steam from the shower could set off the fire alarm. You know how many fire alarms can go off in one night? You don't want to know. But why? That's not for everybody. I'm not saying everybody's got to do that. I'm just saying Jesus asked me to do it. And so it was a suffering. It was struggle for the good of another, because this is what I knew. I wasn't going to share my life with people off campus. I was more introverted than that. I had to be up in amongst them, looking at them every day, praying for them. Death in us, life in you, Paul said. That's the mystery of Christ in ministry. Finally, the mystery of Christ in maturity. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. This is the heart of God for you, that you would be mature. That you would grow up in your faith. This is a mystery, because look what it takes. It takes someone preaching you the word, right? Him we proclaim. This is what this looks like. Jesus Christ is alive. He's died for you. He loves you. He has loved you with an everlasting love. And with an unfailing kindness, he's pursued you. You need to hear that this morning. We need to hear that every morning. The Bible says, encourage one another daily as long as it is called today. We need encouragement every day. Say every day. This is the mystery of maturity, because if you're not encouraged, you won't keep moving. I've been discouraged. Have y'all been discouraged before? How many of y'all have been discouraged this week? Raise your hand. This week. See? Now look, you're not alone. But let's don't stay there. Right? So that's why right after this he says, be encouraged, being knit together in love, because you need someone else to look at you and be like, are you encouraged? And you'd be like, no. And you'd be like, why not? Your sins are forgiven. God will use whatever's happened in you for your good. Some of y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all got a little curmudgeon spirit. We need to cast that out. That little curmudgeon spirit. And you need to believe. I got it. I feel it. Somebody with some faith gets next to me, and I'm like, it kind of irks me a little bit. When you're not in faith, it hurts. And then you got to repent. Like, God, that person's right. You are good. You're going to work this for my good. I need to be knit together in love. That's why life groups are so important, guys. Now, I know we're just in a convenient culture. I'll get my life group online, and I'll get my teaching online. It don't work that way. And I'm not saying you can't get some benefit from that. I love a good podcast. I love a good sermon. I was listening to some this week, just someone's testimony. Ministered to my soul. But there's something about being in the community of faith around others, hearing the same word. So that you're like, did you hear that word Sunday? I did. I'm going to hold you accountable for that. Okay, yeah, I want to do that. I want to be pushed for maturity. Guys, we can't be 20 years in this game and we got the same mentalities, we got the same sins, we got the same attitudes. Christ wants to pull us out of that. Now, if you are there, praise God. Let's repent and move together. Amen? This is the mystery of Christ in maturity, that God would use us to encourage one another, proclaiming the truth. That's why good Bible theology is so important. That's why we preach the Bible here. Okay? And that's why we're starting Leadership 215, because the pastors can't be the only ones here with good theology. It's got to permeate the congregation. So when we hear something that ain't right, we say, that ain't right. Why is that important? Because he talks about it right here. That you would not be led astray. That your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of the fullness of his assurance, of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That is in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. It sounds right. That ain't right. Somebody needs to stand beside you and look at the scripture and say, that ain't right. So we got to get in the discipleship cohort. We got to get in the leadership 215. We got to do the things to get around the word so that our hearts align with truth. You understand? If you don't hear truth, you will be led astray. This isn't like a church starter kit. Well, I guess we got to do life groups. I mean, all the other churches are. I mean, I guess we should gather in this room. What should we do? Play some music. No, we come here on purpose to worship God with song out of our own mouth. And I know there's some of us here. Look, if you're here, you don't know Christ, and you're just trying to figure that, fine. You have all the grace in the world. Come, learn, observe, be a part. But if you follow Jesus, come in this place and open your mouth to the goodness of God. It does something to you. This is not a spectator sport. We've got to worship. We've got to confess the word. We've got to get in our Bibles and know truth and see the little attitudes and the mindsets that are not true and say, that's not right. God forgive me for believing that. Like, this is a part of the mystery of Christ in maturity. And here's the goal. This isn't you come to Jesus And then you move on to a deeper truth. That's what Paul said. No, the mysteries of knowledge and wisdom are in Christ. You walk with Jesus, he lets you know a little bit more. The more you walk with him, the more he'll reveal to you. You don't graduate from Jesus. He created the world. I love that story of George Washington Carver, son of slaves. He says, I don't ask God for the mysteries of the universe. I get up at 4 a.m. and I pray and I said, God, give me the mysteries of this peanut. It's about something I can handle. And he invented, because this is what he saw. If we keep on stripping the land with all this cotton, this land can't produce anything. We've got to produce something that makes money that puts nourishment back in the land. So we got to start farming this peanut. So he saw a problem in the culture. He didn't wait till he had the power. He said, I can do it right here. And then he does the science and he prays and he starts inventing things for the peanut and the sweet potato because he knew this will put nutrients back in the soil. See, he saw, we probably got 2 farmers here. I don't know. Not a lot of farmers here. Y'all are like, what are we talking about peanuts for? Look, there's a problem you're facing in society today, in your classroom, at your home, that God will give you the mysteries of the knowledge of the kingdom to solve that problem. God is alive. He speaks to his people. What problems are you facing? Have you got up early and laid it before the king of the universe? He's probably just saying, I've been waiting for this. I'm not going to track you down, beat you up, and force knowledge down your throat. I'm going to find someone who just has a listening ear, wants to spend time with me, who can carry the weight of the revelation. Because you better have some character to carry the weight of his revelation. This is the mystery of Christ in maturity. That you would be mature in Christ. This is the heart of the elders of this church. That you would be mature. Why do we push all these things? Because we want you to be mature. Just in this passage alone, maturity means listening to the preached word. It means being warned about, don't go that way. Don't do that. Warning you. It is Christ alone for your salvation, not Christ plus works, not Christ plus another cultural nuance. It's Christ alone. Put faith in him. It's teaching with all wisdom. You're going to need some wisdom. God knows the church needs wisdom. Praise God. If you're a young person in here today, get in the book of Proverbs. Just marinate in Proverbs. There's 31. You can read one every day of the week for the whole month. And when you get to the end of the month, you start over. Just marinate in, get some wisdom. Praise God, we need sons and daughters of God, not just who are born again and are smart, but have wisdom. This is like a lost art. Be wise. You have the God of wisdom living inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can you say that this morning? Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But we are nothing without Christ. Nothing. I got nothing to offer you outside of Jesus. Not that will really change you. Not that will really help you. Apart from him, we can do nothing, Jesus said. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word. That in you are all the wisdom and the knowledge that we need for life and godliness, for intimacy. As I was praying this morning for this service, I saw very clearly that there's a number of us in this room that Jesus has been wooing you. He's been inviting you to surrender to him. He loves you so much. He's seen what you've done and said, look, I've paid for that. There's been some sin in your life. It's heavy on your shoulders. But here's what's beautiful. Jesus has forgiven you because of the cross. He's paid for it. And I know by the Spirit, there's some of us in this room who need to surrender to Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you in this place, I want you to raise your hand and say, Blake, I'm ready to surrender to Jesus, my King and my God. Raise it high. Raised your hand in this room, this is my encouragement to you. Jesus wants to live inside of you as your King. He wants to put His Spirit inside of you to walk with you. Whatever you've done in the past, He's paid for it on the cross. If you'll bow your knee to Him, just out of your own mouth and in your own words, say, Jesus, I surrender. I surrender my life to you. I've been going my own way. You have not been a priority. I bow my knee to you, King Jesus, this morning. If you said that prayer this morning and you meant it, the Bible says the next step for you is that you would be baptized, that you would make a public profession of your faith in front of all these people here and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Just like Jesus died and rose again, I'm going to bury the old life and I'm going to live a new one for Christ. Baptism is that public declaration. We're going to do a baptism here next month. So I encourage you, don't stop with a hand raise. Follow it all the way to the water. Father, I pray for all of us in this room who follow Jesus. Lord, I pray for a spirit of encouragement. Lord, that we would be voices of encouragement to one another. Lord, that we would speak the truth in love. Lord, that this church, this community, this ecclesia would be an atmosphere of faith to believe the impossible. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, yes. I'm going to let Beatty close us out this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Blake, for that incredible word. Man, chew on that. Talk about it with somebody this week, the mystery of Christ. And how He is challenging you and growing you. Just a few things here as we dismiss. We do have fasting as a church this week. There's a guide on the app, so you can use that. Find a focus of prayer each day. So that's on the app for you. We do have our church member meeting right here in 10 minutes or so. So here's what that means. If you have children that are kindergarten and older, you can go ahead and pick them up and come back in here. And we will get started. The meeting will be about 15 minutes, and so not too long. If they're 5 and under, they're going to be taking them to the playground. So you can pick them up right after the meeting there. They're also taking those kids to the playground ASAP. So if you're not staying, that's where you can find your kids as well. I think that's it for today. Let me just pray and bless our week. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this community. Lord, I just pray that you would breathe on your people. Let the seed of the gospel, the seed of the word preached, bear fruit this week in our lives. Go with us. Be with us. Cover us on every side. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys are dismissed. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. And we will begin our meeting in about 10 minutes or so.
Today you can know without question.